Last Sunday, I preached this message on about Christmas and about Mary and getting there and all the obstacles that they had, you know. And so many times in life, we face obstacles and we say, why are we going through this obstacle? Why is there something happening? You know, come on, God, make it perfect. Well, it's pretty obvious that if God couldn't arrange a room at an inn, he couldn't. No, he could have, but Scripture had to be fulfilled. Everybody say fulfilled. Scripture had to be fulfilled that Jesus was born in a manger. Okay? Do you know that right now there's Scripture that's been spoken over your life? Maybe it's audible on earth, but it's been spoken over your life in heaven. That's not going to come to pass until you get in the right place to get it fulfilled. You know that. There's things that need to be fulfilled in your life. Every one of you that are born, you have a destiny. Every one of you, you were created, the Bible says, fearfully and wonderfully in your mother's womb. You say, no, I was an accident. No, ain't no accidents. Ain't no mishaps. I don't believe in it. You can't prove it to me. You can't tell me. I don't believe that God makes mistakes. Look at the person beside you and say, God didn't make mistakes. God didn't make mistakes. We can make choices that take us out of His will, but God Himself makes no mistakes. And the whole time in your life, God is working it around, trying to get you back on course or get you back under the blessing spout. Hello. Has anybody ever made a bad decision? Okay, so I'll make sure I'm preaching the right crowd. If I had a room full of perfectionists in here, we could just close the Bible and go on home. But I think all of us have made bad choices, haven't we? We've all done things that we regretted, said things we shouldn't have said, done things we shouldn't have done. We've all made mistakes. Hello? Well, right here in Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, I want to carry this thought on. Jesus says, it's in red, so Jesus said it. It says, do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets, or let me say the prophecies. For I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. You see, I think people have got it wrong when they think that God has come to take something from you. God didn't come and send Jesus on earth to take something from you. He came to give you everything. He came to fulfill every prophecy, every scripture, everything that there was in life about you. He came to fulfill it. Now, you got an adversary over here, the Bible says, the devil, who roams about looking around, just finding some place that he can take and try to keep the prophecy from coming to pass in your life or the fulfillment of what God wants for you in life. Listen to me this morning. God wants you to know this morning, and He wants the prophecy fulfilled, that there's a revelation in your life that you know that He loves you. Not that He loves you if you would have done it right. Not that He loves you if you would have been better. Not that He loves you when you get this out of your life. See, people all the time get caught up in mistakes we've made, habits we have, bondages that we've walked in, and we think God's not with us because we've had those issues. But the real truth is God is with you, and that He loves you, and His grace is abounding towards you, and He wants you free from it, and He wants you walking in it, and He's for you, not against you. Jesus said, I didn't come to destroy the law. I came to fulfill it. Now, what's he talking about? He's talking about the Old Testament law. He's talking about the law that was written down by Moses. You got to understand something. The law of Moses, the law that was written down, is not just 10 commandments. There's over 3,000 covenants and ordinances in the old law, and that you had to fulfill each and every one. And the Old Testament law was given for the purpose of us to understand how far off we are from being holy. Hello? If there was no law, then that would leave man to dictate what was right and what was wrong. right? So let's just say there was no speed limit. There was no speed limit law. You could drive down the road as fast or as slow as you wanted to. So then there would be no need for a policeman to stop you and say, give you a speeding ticket, because there's no law that says you were speeding, because there's no law. But would we not all sit around and say, oh, so-and-so, man, why don't they drive faster? For those that like to drive fast. Right? And then all of a sudden, we would be setting up our own law, saying, well, they are, you drive too slow. Well, there's no law that says how fast. And if I want to drive 10 and you want to drive 80, that's going to be a problem. Right? So God gave the law for us to see one thing. What was required of man to be holy before Almighty God? That's the purpose of the Old Testament law. That's the purpose of all the do's and don'ts of the Old Testament, was to tell you and show you what God would require of a man in his physical, his own physical ability to be righteous before God. And if you just start reading a little bit, just go into the book of Leviticus and read just a little of it. You find out right off the bat, ain't no way we're going to do that. There's no way you could read and get that all down and get it all done and be righteous. Do you know that if you merely stepped or came in contact with a dead animal, you were unrighteous? You say, well, Pastor, I mean, we don't really go mess around with, you know, dead animals. Really? So you come in here this morning, how many bugs do you think you walked over? No matter what you were doing, no matter, you could be doing it all right, and somebody came up and shook your hand this morning, but they had touched something unclean, so you became unclean. The principle was to show you, you can't do it. Jesus said, I didn't come. He said, listen, I didn't come to destroy, but to fulfill. I came to be the one man that would walk up there, that would go to the cross, that would be perfect, that would be the sacrifice, that I fulfilled all of that law for everyone. Listen to me, God is for you today. He's not against you. He wants to see things fulfilled in your life. John 17 says he wants to see the fullness of his joy fulfilled in your life. And I've had people tell me before, well, I'd like to be a Christian, but I don't want to be a Christian. No, I can't. You can't do anything when you're a Christian. You don't get to have any fun. You know, it's all don'ts. You can't do this, can't do that, can't do this, can't do that. It's all don'ts. And I can't, you know, I can't live like that. I got to have a little fun. Hello? Anybody ever heard that? Probably may have thought it yourself too, like. Jesus says, look, I got a better way. I got a way that you can be fulfilled in life by serving me, not the serving the things of the flesh or serving the things of this world. I got a way to fulfill every joy and bring peace into your life and joy into your life and victory into your life. I am here to fulfill you, not to take from you. You know, if I thought that every time I went to my Heavenly Father, went to God in prayer or whatever, that he was going to take something from me, I'd quit going. Right? But if I'm living my life thinking, wait a minute, I want to be close to God because he wants to fulfill everything in my life. He wants me holy. He wants me complete. And when this world throws you a curveball and it doesn't come out right, and things don't work exactly right, God's there not to say, well, I told you so. He's there to fulfill in your life everything. Look what he says here. He says, as surely I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Now, jots and tittles, that's not something we talk about much. In the Hebrew writing, you know, like in Spanish, what do they call the thing you put over the N? What's that word called? A what? Say it one more time. Tilden. Tilde. I thought you said Tilden. I thought that's what the name of the town means down there, Tilden. Okay, the tilde, that's over the N, right? Okay, well, Hebrews like that. It has little marks that go over the letters. What it means, and the letters are big and small when they're written out. And one jot and one tittle means it's not the, to the smallest letter or the smallest mark that's over the letter is going to be missed. That's what it means. He says, look, it's all going to be fulfilled. We're not going to lose any of it to the smallest letter or the smallest mark. It's all going to be fulfilled. Y'all with me? Okay. He says, whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men, so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. The Pharisees outwardly appeared to be righteous, but really all they were religious, not righteous. They were religious. They could read the Bible forwards and backwards. They knew all the commandments, they knew all the letters of the law. They could quote scripture, they could do all this stuff, but they were trying to fulfill the Old Testament law by works, by their abilities, by their strengths. That's why any religion that has works involved in it in order for you to gain something in heaven cannot be right. I mean, I don't even want to argue with them about it. I still say, how do you get to heaven? Oh, you have some works that you have to do this in order. Forget it. Because if you have to do it, then you can stand there and say, you put something in it. You added value to it, right? If you had to do something. Well, you got to go witness to three people and get three people saved. You get three people saved, then you get to go to heaven. Well, wait a minute. That's works. Right? So the Pharisees, Jesus says, unless you, he says here, if you, it looks like it's really a tough statement. It says, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you're not going to enter heaven. And he said, I can't quote the Bible forwards and backwards. I can't do all this stuff. I don't know all the commandments. But wait a minute. They weren't righteous by the blood of Jesus. They were trying to be righteous by works. And Jesus said, I came to fulfill all the works. I came to fulfill everything. I came to be the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Everything in your life you would need, I came to be that person. And to fulfill it all. Folks, listen to me. This sounds so simple. This message sounds so simple. And people can just brush it off. But listen to me. Everything you need in life right now can be found in Jesus. He said, no, Pastor, you don't understand. I need a job. It's in Jesus. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's the one that can make something work out. He can make all the crooked paths straight. He can make the heavens that have turned brass and iron in your life open heavens. He can do it. You got to quit looking to the world. You got to quit looking to people. You got to quit looking to anything else to solve your problem. You got to start looking to Jesus because Jesus is the answer. Oh, yeah, you go put out your resume and apply for jobs. I'm not saying you just sit at home on the couch like a potato and don't do anything. But Jesus is what you're looking for. He's the fulfillment of everything in your life. And whenever you stray off of that, you're going to find lack. The opposite of full is empty, right? Well, half full is not good enough for me with Jesus. I don't want me just half full of Jesus. Hello? I want to be full to overflowing, shaken and spewed out. Right? Have y'all ever drank like a flat soda water? Probably not much more nastier in the world than to drink a flat soda water, right? You're expecting something. You're totally and completely expecting something, and you put it in your mouth, and you're like, bleh. The same with Jesus. I want to be full to overflowing. I want to be where I'm shaken up and got some fizz to me. I want when the devil shakes me, glory spews out. You with me? I want when adversity comes, not only do I get through my adversity, but I have a revelation now about helping other people get through the adversities. Or to make a way where they don't walk in that adversity. When I bless, I want to be blessed so that I can bless, and I want that person that I bless to then be a blessing too, and it keeps multiplying and multiplying. Hello? Jesus wants to fulfill everything in life, but listen to me, when you're standing right here not moving, saying, Jesus, I need you to fulfill something in my life, you're missing it. It's your faith in what he did at the cross for you that makes you walk forward, believe in him for miracles tomorrow. That's the essence of faith. The essence of faith. Things don't always go the way we think they're going to go. I don't care who you are and how you cut it. I don't care who you are and how you cut it. Things in this life do not always go the way we think they're going to go. Hello? Do all the figuring, do all the works, do all whatever, but I'm telling you, life has a way of throwing you some wrinkles. Just does. But praise God. He tells me, John 16:33, that in this world I'll have some wrinkles, I'll have some tribulation, I'll have some problems, but you know what? Be of good cheer because he's overcome the world. Listen, if I'm fulfilled with the one who's already overcome, the one that's in charge of everything, the one that's got it all, folks, all I need to know is him better. Where we mess up in life is we give him our heart, we give him our life one time at salvation when we come to know Jesus and we stop there. We don't proceed on. We don't proceed on with a life. Listen to me. I want to tell y'all something. I'm not bragging. Don't get me wrong. I'm going to tell you something. The principles I learned. When our family had been ranchers for over 100 years, and all I ever wanted to do in life was be a cowboy. I never wanted to be a preacher. Matter of fact, when I was young, if you'd have told me I was going to be a preacher, I'd have whipped you. And we lost everything. We went broke. And I mean, I don't mean we were like, some people say, oh yeah, we went broke, but they had another account over there full of money. We only lost that business. No, I'm talking about, we lost everything. And so coming from broke, I didn't like broke. I didn't like it at all. You know, it's like I used to tell people, I said, I've been rich and I've been poor, and rich is better. I don't like poor. I don't like being broke. I don't like that. And so I started reading the Bible and I started understanding the principles of sowing and reaping. I said, Lord, you're my fulfillment. You've got everything. You've got a plan in here. You've got a plan to prosper me. You have a plan here. I want to know it and I want to find it. I started reading books. I started looking. I wasn't just for a lust for money. I said, no, you have something in my life and I need it. I'm broke. It wasn't like, you got to understand something. I'm talking about, I didn't go anywhere and I didn't do anything until I figured it out. I'm talking about I read my Bible and read my Bible and read my Bible. I read the New Testament 20 or 30 times in just a matter of a month or so just to try to get it down. And I read books or everything. I dug into everything I could and said, Lord, you've got an answer and I want it. You have an answer. And one day, just so obvious, I kept reading the answer, but I didn't want to hear the answer because the answer kept saying give. And I said, well, Lord, that don't make no sense. I don't have nothing to give. If I had something to give, I'd give because I'd want to be a charitable person, but I ain't got no giving. I ain't got nothing to give. So how could I give? That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. That principle doesn't work. So I'd keep digging, and I'd go over it again, and I'd come back, and I'd read the scripture, like Luke 6:38, giving it shall be given unto you. Good measures pressed down, shaken together, and I said, well, Lord, that ain't what I'm trying to get, not give. I'm trying to figure out your word here because I need to get. I need it getting. You got to understand? Okay, quit showing me those scriptures. I want the getting scriptures. I want the receiving scriptures, not the giving scriptures. That's where I'm at. Let the rich person give, but I need to get. So how do I get? And then we go over it again, and then they come back around, and you say, you know, I find another scripture, you know. Whatsoever a man sows that he also reaps. Wait, we don't talk about reap. I need reaping. I don't need no sowing. And I'd go over this and go over this again. And finally, one day, I said, Lord, you've got to be kidding me. And I began to look at the principle. And I said, Lord, Isaiah 55:11, your ways are not my ways. You don't think like I think. You got a different principle than I've got. And I never forget. I said, okay, well, I got to get some seed. I need some money. I need something to give, Lord. And I remember randomly, somehow, can't even remember how, I got an extra $10. So I said, okay, Lord, I have the $10. Here's the seed. What do you want me to do with it? If I want to follow your principles, what do you want me to do with it? And he spoke to me, somebody to give it to. And I said, so you want me to go give away $10 when I needed, I finally got $10. And you want me to give the $10 away? And I'm like, this is crazy. This is crazy talk, Lord, but I trusted in you. Believe in your word. And so I went and was obedient, did what he said. More than a week went by, an extra 20 came in. And I said, well, what do you want me to do with this? Do I get to keep this? Is this I get to eat this? No, I want you to give this away. You got to get some seed in the ground. So what do you mean get some seed in the ground? And then he began to take me through the farming principles and showing me all about farming. You got to plant. You can't get a harvest. You can't just plow up the ground and look at it. You got to put seed in the ground to grow. And I'm like, really? And so we went through this. I'm telling you, it was a lifetime of just giving and sowing and giving, sowing and giving. Then all of a sudden he said, okay, now that's yours. You can eat that. And that's sowing. Now, so I'm telling you, that's the principles. Now, folks, listen to me. That's just a financial principle I'm telling you. But God has fulfilling scriptures in your life for everything. Whether you need love, whether you're lonely, whether you need peace, whether you need grace, whatever's going on in your life, there is a fulfillment in the scriptures in there for you. But you got to find it. You can't walk around and say, oh, show me, Lord. And then that's all that was the extent of your prayer and all. You got to find it. You got to dig at it. You got to be like a hen scratching for that seed. You got to be somebody that's hungry enough that's going to delve into it, dive into it, dig into it till you find the revelation for you. Hello? See, most people don't want to hear that. I wish it was McDonald's. I wish it was drive-up window. I wish you just pulled up and ordered and spoke to those people. Yeah, God, I need me an extra dose of this and that and the other and pull around. Come on, pull around to the window and it's yours. I wish it was that easy. But it's not. Think about Jesus, this principle. He went out and he spoke to all the people and he spoke to them in parables. Why did he do that? Think about that for a minute. Why would Jesus, the Son of God, knowing that he was the Savior of the world, going to go to the cross, go speak to people in parables? Why would he just tell them, hey, I'm Jesus, I'm the Son of God, believe in me, and your sins will be forgiven? He said that he did it because he wanted those that were really hungry to find him. I'm paraphrasing that, but that's what he said. He told them one time, he said, y'all just came over here and you're seeking me just because I fed you yesterday. You're seeking me because I gave you some bread. You're not seeking me because you're hungry for the word. He told that to people who'd been 3 days listening to him teach. Some of us in here, you know, your stomach's already growling. You're thinking about lunch. And if I said, we're going to throw down here and go 3 days straight, y'all would say, Pastor is gone off the deep end. He's whacked out. He's good, but he ain't 3 days worth of good. We ain't sitting listening to nobody for three whole days. He better be having some stewardesses come by with some peanuts and some soft drinks here in a minute. Am I right? I wouldn't sit and listen to me for 3 days. But you know, there was a time when I first met Jesus that I could not wait to get home from work. And my kids were small and we'd eat supper together and we'd talk about the day and play with the kids a little bit. We'd get them in bed and I'd sit up for hours and do nothing but read my Bible. Only because I wanted to know him. want y'all to know that in my own life, in this new year, I don't believe in resolutions. I believe in making vows to the Lord and all. I won't back at that same place. I've served the Lord for 25 years with all of my heart. And I still read His Bible every day and read His Word every day. But I mean, I want that hunger again. I want that ravenous hunger on the inside just to say, Lord, You're everything to me. That problem, forget about getting mad at it and trying to fix that problem. I just want to know You, Jesus, and I want to see it fulfilled. This life is too short. And if you live for this life, you're going to come up short. The next life is eternal. And I would rather die and nobody knows me on this earth and step over into the courts of heaven and have a banquet. Folks, you cannot live for this life. You will never be fulfilled living for this life. You'll only be fulfilled living for eternal life. 2 Corinthians 1:20, you can just read it or y'all can flip it up there. It says, the promises of God are yes to you and amen. What does amen mean? Like, it's the ending statement, right? Could you also not say, it probably wouldn't sound as good if you just, you know, you said your prayer, Lord, da, 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 da. Okay, thank you, finished. Right? I mean, you say amen at the end of it because so be it, you've ended it, it's the end statement. It's not really a salutation, but it's sort of like that, right? It's the last thing you say. Amen. Y'all with me? Jesus said He's the yes and the amen to you. When Jesus hung on the cross, the last words that He uttered said, it's finished. John 19 says, finished. What's finished? The fulfilling of the prophecies, the fulfilling of the Old Testament is finished. You don't need any more. You don't need to do any more. It's all in Jesus. He is the fulfillment of everything in your life. He is the yes and the it's finished in your life. Have you ever, don't raise your hand on this one, and don't look down because I'll know I got you. Have you ever prayed a prayer, you know, like an earnest prayer to the Lord, and then you said, amen, and then you said, I just don't know what we're going to do. That's kind of like when they were all praying for Peter to get out of the jail, and then he shows up and knocks on the door because the angel let him out. And the girl screams and goes back in and says, Peter's at the door. And they say, no way, you're crazy. They had a lot of faith in what they were praying, right? They're praying, oh Lord, set him free. And she says he's at the door and they wouldn't let him in. Full of faith. That is a great prayer meeting. What it was a worry meeting being spoken out. It wasn't a prayer meeting. It was a worry meeting being spoken out. Probably a gossip meeting. A worry gossip meeting it was a worry gossip meeting with the illusion of a prayer meeting, because otherwise she'd have come in and said, Peter's at the door, and everybody'd say, yeah, God, way to go, let him in. And then they've all been walking around saying, our God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing He cannot do. Yeah. They'd have been high-fiving. Come on. Yeah, Jesus. Come on, Romans. You want some of us? We'll pray it now. I've been trying to get Sister Annie from Alamo, which has all the missions in Mexico that I've worked with for years, to come up and preach. Because there's a lot of y'all here, y'all have never met her. And you've never met a woman who walks in faith like this woman does. It's just unbelievable. I stand in awe. I'm humbled to be in her presence because I'm telling you what, she does not think even like I think. And, you know, with all the things going on in Mexico and all the stuff, she told me, she said, Pastor, be praying She said, the violence is kind of broken out down in the Socapo, Michoacan area because the last drug lord they killed, he was the drug lord of the one down there. And so they're like the buses that come from one of their towns that we have a church in Asaco down to the other town of Socapo, which we have a church. She said they stopped the bus, but they were gracious enough to let everybody off the bus, and then they burn it right there in the middle of the road and the violence is breaking out, and there's more kidnappings in Socapo, and there's more things going on than ever before. And I said, man, Annie, I said, what are you going to do? Because she has a conference down there at every year in the summer. And I said, what are you going to do? And she said, we just got to get down there. And I said, excuse me? And she says, yeah, we got to get down there. And she said, when all the violence was taking place in Progreso, we just called a 40-day fast, and everybody prayed and fasted for 40 days. And then after that, the Marines came in and took all the bad guys off, and now the city's got peace. And so we just got to get down there and fast and pray, and we'll break the thing. We'll break that stronghold, and we'll take care of those drug people. And I'm like, okay, the Mexican army can't even deal with them. But we just need to send Hermana Angelica, is what they call her, okay? She's all of maybe 5 foot tall. And send her and her prayer warriors down there, and they'll take care of the drug cartels. Do you see when I'm saying that to you right now, things are going on in your mind like they are in mine, saying, yeah, right, Annie, you better stay home. But that's not where her faith is. And I'm telling you, she'll pray the whole thing down and peace will be restored to the region. Because they pray in faith. Because they know Jesus is everything. They know he is the fulfillment of everything. And then unless you got to get Jesus in the middle of it, and then the situation will be solved. We're talking about a lady who was the first Catholic nun in Texas to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. She had a vision in the convent of Jesus coming and speaking to her and telling her she needed to leave the convent. She got a, what do you call it when you get the Pope, not a dispensation, when he grants you to leave, because once you're signed up, you can't get out. I'm trying to find all the nice words to say here, but I can't think of what it is. Yeah, I want to say an annulment, but I don't think that's it. But it's like that. Y'all know what I'm talking about. She's got it from the Pope. Told her, said, man, she's never been given. He gave it to her because she said, I see something in you. There's something. Jesus is doing something in you. Yeah. Folks, I'm just telling you, it's time to get our faith stirred. It's time to let Jesus be the fulfillment of everything in our life. He came to be the yes and the amen in your life. There's nothing else going to work but Jesus. The thing is, you got to figure out how he wants to be in your life and how you apply it into your life. All of us are different. You got to figure it out, though. There's no way you can't let it go and say, okay, well, that's nice. No. You got to get it figured out. He is the yes and amen to you. I'll give you one more scripture, and if you'll click it up there. Philippians 1 and 6 says that not only is he the fulfillment in your life, okay, but that he is going to perfect everything that concerns you. Hear me now. He is going to perfect everything that concerns you. It says, being confident of this, that very thing, that he who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. He's going to perfect it. He's going to complete it. He's going to bring it to pass. Look who it says there. Who's bringing it to pass? He. Look at the person beside you and say, he is. Look at him and say, he is doing it, not you. Come on, look at somebody and say, he's doing it, not you. You can't bring it to pass. The moment you give up on that and say, oh, I can get this done, and you got to fall down your face and say, Jesus, man, I got to have you. Man, it's got to be you, Lord. If I can't get this done, I can't do it. That's like, have you ever tried, some of you younger people, this is probably doesn't even apply to you and you never have even thought of this. But us older folks, have you ever tried to put the screw back in the pair of glasses in the arm when you don't have another pair of glasses? The simplest task in life become difficult It's like I will screw that screw in there if I can find the hole, but I can't see the hole. Or you get it so far, I want to say, oh, there it is, but then your arm's not long enough to get the screw to the hole. Hello? I came up to a gate the other day that had a lock on it. Thought I was going to have to spend the night in my truck because I could not see the numbers no matter which way I turned it. I said, Lord, have mercy. I don't have my glasses with me. I can't see. I can't put the combination. It was a roll combination. I said, I can't see it, Lord. And I turned it around. I had eights and threes and whatever, and I knew all the combinations. I weeded out a certain amount of the letters, you know, I mean the numbers, because you could, you know, I could distinguish some, but like nines and eights and threes and all that. It's just like, holy mackerel. So now I have a pair of glasses hidden in my truck for that occasion. And I never take them out and put them in my pocket because I know I'll take them off, then I'll leave them somewhere else. And so I got in there. I'm thinking about finding me like a monocle, you know. Have that in my pocket, you know. I just pop that thing out, pop it up like that, you know. That's why they had those things on a chain, because they always lose that. Got to have it in your chain on your pocket or you lose it. It's bad. It makes me feel very old. Yeah, inside of me, when I'm inside my earth suit looking out, I don't feel more than about 20, 25. Then somebody takes a picture of me and I look from the outside of my earth suit back in. I'm like, wow, dude. Look like you have milk all over your face. Looks like you went like this, poo, into a meringue pie. So I just had to hurry up and quit looking at that picture and get back inside of my earth suit looking out. And I'm okay, man. I'm okay. I don't know what y'all are looking at, but I know what I look like because I'm looking from the inside out, not from the outside in. It's a big difference. But he's perfected. He's going to do it. He's going to perfect in you. He's going to complete in you. Let him be the fulfillment of your life. Let him be the perfecter of your life. Let him in every situation in your life. Set it about that in 2011, this new year coming up, 21-1. That he is going to be everything. He's going to be the fulfillment of everything in your life, and you're going to dig and find it, and he's going to be the yes and the it's finished in your life. Amen? Amen. Stand to your feet if you would. Take the hand of the person beside you, kind of squeeze it, kind of shake them a little bit, and say, he is the fulfillment in your life.